Good morning.
Heather, could you stick the PowerPoint up, please? Hopefully I'll be able to drive from here. Okay. So today we're looking at our vision as a church. We started a new sermon series last week on Acts, and we're already taking a breather from that to look at vision, what we believe God's priorities are for us and our values are as a church. So we'll start by opening scripture, and we're going to be in John's Gospel. And we're looking at some of Jesus' words in the run-up to his crucifixion. There's several chapters, but we're going to focus in on John 17, which is on page 1085. Words that Jesus spoke to his disciples as he handed over the mantle to them to continue his work, which would entail preaching the good news, making disciples, establishing churches. So they've got lots to say to us as we ask the question of what our church should be about. So John chapter 17, we're going to read from verse 6 on page 1085. And this is Jesus speaking and praying. I've revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. And then skipping on to verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. On the 17th of December 1903, Orville and Wilbur Wright achieved the first sustained powered flight of an aeroplane. And as a result, they've gone down in history as the fathers of aviation. And that's despite the fact that they came from a humble background. They used what they learned in their bicycle repair shop as the inspiration for their flying machine. Now, a name that many of us perhaps don't know so well, I certainly hadn't come across before, is Samuel Pierpoint Langley. He was a contemporary of the Wright brothers, and he too was on a quest to invent the first flying machine. He, unlike the Wright brothers, was educated in the best schools. He held multiple university professorships during his lifetime. His project was funded by the US government, and he surrounded himself with some of science's best minds. And yet, most of us have never heard of him, because unlike the Wright brothers, his experiments failed. What was the difference? Well, there's lots of good scientific reasons why this thing didn't actually fly, except straight into the river. But some historians would say that at its heart, the difference was to do with vision. So the Wright brothers believed in their heart that human flight was not only possible, but that when it was achieved, it was going to transform the world. Whereas Pierpoint Langley saw this as another project, a chance to make a few bucks, a chance to make a name for himself, but he wasn't actually that interested in flying. So when the Wright brothers' planes crashed, as they did, they went back to the drawing board, they repaired them, they tried again and again and again, because they had vision and they believed in what they were doing. Whereas when this guy's planes crashed, after a few attempts, he gave up and moved on to something else. The Wright brothers gave their all to the vision. And that's why we're looking at vision as a church. And it's not our vision, it's God's vision that we want to discern. Like the Wright brothers, we want to be captivated by a vision, by direction, by what we're doing. And we need to believe in a vision that will transform the world, or at least our part of it. And of course, our vision doesn't depend on our own ingenuity like theirs did, but it depends on the God who created all things, who defeated sin and death, and one day will return to make everything new. So as a church, we've been thinking and praying over the last couple of years, asking God how he would have us serve him in the years ahead. And it's a journey that started really probably towards the beginning of 2018 as we had what we called listening meetings, where we came together and shared our thoughts and prayed together. And it's continued since then through times of prayer, through our small groups, and of course, as elders, deacons, trustees have met and prayed together. And we still don't have all the answers, but as an eldership, we believe that we have now got some clarity over God's core purpose and vision for us. And that's really what the rest of this morning is about. But it does come with some health warnings. Firstly, this is what we believe from scripture, from prayer, from our discussions with each other, from the counsel we've received from the Woodlands team, that we believe this is what we should be about. But we absolutely don't have the divine hotline or anything unique in hearing from God. So, yeah, we really need now everyone to engage and to give feedback and to help us as we refine it. Secondly, this isn't a detailed roadmap. This is more about our values and our priorities, the outcomes as a church we long to see. So what I'm going to be sharing this morning is deliberately not precise in what we'll do or how we'll do it, more about where we're going. And I'll talk more about how we fill in those details as we go on. And finally, this has been particularly hard for me to prepare, not just because I'm not used to standing up front here in this sort of context, but also because as I've prepared, particularly over the last week, I've been struck by the big gap between what I'm about to say and what I'm actually doing myself. So I'm needing to apply this to myself first. What does Jesus want from his people? And in particular, what does he want from us, his people, here in Long Ashton, in Hebron? And our vision flows from what Scripture has to say about God's purposes for church in general, but also from what we believe God is saying to us uniquely in Hebron. As Hebron, we're a community of believers following Jesus together within our community of Long Ashton. And all those bits are important. Our vision falls into three parts. Firstly, as a church, we long to walk closely with Jesus. Jesus' first disciples literally walked with him day in, day out for 3 years. And they got to know him intimately over those years. They'd learned his character. They'd seen him in big crowds and in solitude. They'd seen him in moments of apparent crisis and when he was relaxing with his friends, and in any number of other dramatic and mundane situations. And gradually, certainly imperfectly, they had started to become a bit more like him. Walking is by definition about a journey. It's not something that happens instantly, it's a process. And so, as a church, our desire is that each one of us walks closely with Jesus every day, and that as a whole church, we continue to walk closely with Jesus. In John 15, Jesus, a couple of chapters before what we read, Jesus uses another familiar metaphor. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So what does walking with Jesus actually mean? Well, it's really about placing priority on the historic practices of a life centred on Jesus. So firstly, for us as Hebron, we believe this means that we're committed to seeking and depending on Jesus in our personal and corporate prayer. If we're to see God at work in us, in our community, in our church, we need to be serious about prayer. we're not just a club or a self-help group. We long to know the living God and to see his power released. And so, as this church has done since its foundation, we start with prayer. Amongst other things, prayer is our antidote to self-reliance that some of us, certainly I, suffer from. It puts our reliance back on God, the only one who, at the end of the day, is truly reliable. However long we've been walking with Jesus, and however well we know him, there's always further that we can go in prayer. So that's why we're doing the prayer course this term. I really do encourage you to come along on Wednesday evenings, starting on the 18th. We believe that God is going to use it to re-energise both our personal and our corporate prayer, and that through it we'll see him working through us in new and powerful ways. Secondly, walking closely with Jesus means that we want to worship the Father authentically in our gatherings and in our whole lives. Walking with Jesus means honouring him, it means adoring him, it means giving him glory in everything that we do, when we meet together on Sundays, but also during the week. And again, we know this, and we already seek to do it, but we want to reinforce its importance and be deliberate about prioritising it and learning to be true worshippers, and also to encourage each other and to learn from each other as we do so. Jesus is Lord of all. He died in our place. He rose again. He gave us new life. We owe him everything, and so we take worship seriously. Walking with Jesus means that we seek to take God's written word seriously and allow it to shape us to become more like him. When we want to know what God's like or his purposes for us, Scripture is our infallible reference. It's our bedrock. Again, God's word has been at the heart of Hebron since day one. And we need to grow an increasing commitment to and passion for God's word, whether that be in our adults and children's gatherings on a Sunday, in our small groups, or on our own. We need to learn God's word. We need to treasure it. We need to be instructed by it, listen to God through it, and submit to it. And finally, walking closely with Jesus means that we long for the experience and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life as a church, as individuals, and in the lives of those around us. Again, in the previous chapter, Jesus talks to the Holy Spirit and says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it's from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." We believe that God's Spirit is given to every believer, and that God calls us to be continually filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5 and elsewhere. And throughout his letters, and particularly in Corinthians, Paul teaches about the gifts of the Spirit, about tongues, prophecy, healing, and others. And this is a complex and confusing area of church doctrine, where churches differ and where some of us inevitably will have been hurt in the past. And that explains why some of us probably, certainly myself, have perhaps been a little hesitant to press into the things of the Spirit. But we believe that walking with Jesus means the Holy Spirit living in us and experiencing his power, which is for all believers. And that to neglect it is to opt out of a significant part of Jesus' plans for us. And so, sensitively and carefully, we do want to seek the Holy Spirit's power to be released amongst us. And we desire to create some space for the outworking of his gifts, for prophecy, for miracles, to build up the church and to be a sign to unbelievers. So firstly, our desire as a church is to walk closely with Jesus. Secondly, it's to walk closely with each other. In the individualistic 21st century culture that surrounds us and seeps into us, our salvation is often portrayed as an intimately personal thing. And in one sense, that's right. Each one of us must choose personally to put their faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and for the new life that he offers. But when we're saved not just into a relationship with God, but also a relationship with each other. Jesus says, "I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me, and have loved them, even as you have loved me." In Mark's Gospel, we get that familiar bit where Jesus' mother and brothers go to see him when he's in a crowd, a house full of people. And he looks around and describes the crowd as his mother and brothers, in contrast with his actual mother and brothers that are outside looking for him. It's not that Jesus has anything against his family, or is against family in general, far from it. But he's making the point about the importance of the family that God's brought us into. As a small church where most people live nearby each other, we have a huge opportunity to do community and church family really well. That's why the theme for our weekend away is being a church family. Again, it's not that we don't do it now, but we can go still deeper in discovering what it means to be church family. And we want to be stretched and inspired in doing so. So again, briefly, what does this look like? Going the wrong way. Firstly, we want to get to know each other deeply as sisters and brothers in Christ. How can we be intentional at really getting to know each other? How can we find out what makes each other tick? What each other's passions are? What their hopes are? What their disappointments are? What they're struggling with? How can we learn to truly value and appreciate each other's differences? Our different life stages, our different family situations, our different personalities, our different experiences, abilities and gifts. Secondly, walking closely with each other means that we're committed to serving each other and meeting each other's needs in the strength that God gives us. So what does it mean to sacrificially serve each other as sisters and brothers, as family? What are the needs of our sisters and brothers? Are we prepared to make sacrifices of our time, our resources for each other? Will we open our homes to each other? And as a local church, we strive to be honest and authentic with each other so that we can help each other in our walk with Jesus. God never intended us to live the Christian life on our own. We need each other to give us strength when we're struggling, when prayers go unanswered, when life is overwhelming us, when it feels like our faith is slipping through our fingers. We need to be encouraged by each other's experiences of God, by the miracles they've seen, by the things that God's taught them. And we need to be honest about our temptations and our sin. We need to be ready to be challenged by each other, as well as to graciously challenge others to help each other become more like Jesus. We need to be honest and authentic. Being honest is about what we say and what we do. Do I share what's really going on in my life with other people here? Am I open about where I've messed up, about my struggles and my sin? And being authentic is about who I am. Do I put on a mask when I come to church? Do I pretend to be more spiritual than I really am? Do you see the real me? If you saw me at work tomorrow morning, or last week, or with my family, would you recognise me as the same person? And sadly, on both counts, the answer to those questions is too often no. Over the centuries, many people have discovered that these sorts of honest, authentic relationships are key to spiritual growth and maturity. and our size makes that more possible than in a larger church. We believe that this is something that God is asking us to be more deliberate about, something that should characterise us as Hebron. So let's take some risks. Let's start doing this more, or maybe for the first time. And walking closely with each other means that we aim to cultivate an atmosphere in which we enjoy spending time with each other, and that we choose to do so both within and outside of organised church activities. A lot of what I've said so far on this feels quite heavy. But what else do families do? They, most of the time at least, enjoy spending time together. So it's not just an optional add-on. It's not a nice to have to spend time together. It's essential. The early church met together every day. They lived their lives together. And whilst it's not possible for us to do in quite the same way, we do need to spend time together to deepen our friendships. Otherwise, the other stuff will just seem forced, half-hearted, rather contrived, rather than being the natural overflow of who we are together. So, we seek to walk closely with Jesus. We seek to walk closely with each other. And lastly, we seek to walk closely with the people of Long Ashton. We are a church in a community, the village of Long Ashton. One of the things I love most about being part of this village is the way that people prize community. You see it in the number of events and clubs at the community centre, the village market, the flower festival yesterday, the LA cinema, the sadness at the closure of the library, the fact that I was queuing outside the barbers at 8:15 yesterday in a queue before the place even opened, because people love to do things in community. They love to do things here rather than travelling to town. And I suspect it's got something to do with being so close to Bristol and yet being a village. People who might live, people who might work or have friends or shop or socialise in Bristol love coming back to our village to escape and to find connection here. And while some of us live in Long Ashton and some don't, all of us have got some form of deep personal connection to this village. I firmly believe that God loves Long Ashton more than we do. He has plans and purposes for this village. His heart breaks for those here who don't yet know him, and for the things in our village that don't are contrary to his ways. And he rejoices over everything that's good here. Together with All Saints, we have a unique call to this village, to walk closely with the people of Long Ashton. And being a church in Long Ashton gives us a huge opportunity. When we as a family were considering joining Hebron, I was the last one to really get my head around it, certainly out of Helen and I. And the thing God used to get me to finally commit was the village carol service, the Hebron carol service. After years of half-heartedly inviting people to carol services in Bristol, out of some kind of sense of evangelistic duty rather than any real desire for them, we casually invited a few neighbours for drinks before Christmas and invited them to come on to the carol service, and loads of them came. People love to do things in this village. We need to seize that opportunity that God's given us. So that means our desire is that we long for God's kingdom to come in our community of Long Ashton, for people to know that he's the living God and turn to him for salvation. In Chris's sermon from Acts 1 last week, he spoke about the nature of the kingdom. It's not a political kingdom, but it's something more subtle, subversive even, like the yeast that invisibly works through the dough and makes it rise. And at the start of his ministry, Jesus quoted Isaiah and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Our longing is for God's kingdom to come in this way in our village, both spiritually and literally. Good news for the poor, blind eyes to be opened, the oppressed set free, the experience of God's favour. A foretaste of God putting an end to everything that's wrong with the world that we read out in Revelation 21 when Jesus returns. Secondly, walking closely with the people of Long Ashton means that we want to demonstrate the love and character of Jesus by engaging with the spiritual and practical needs of people in Long Ashton. We want to be involved in village life, individually and as a church. So how can we get to know more people in this village? How can we understand what's going on in their lives? What their needs are? And how can we bring Jesus' love into those situations? What village organisations, teams, committees are we part of or should we be part of? How can we be salt and light in those situations? How can we get behind each other and support each other on those front lines rather than just seeing it as something that they do outside of church? And we seek to work closely with the wider church in Long Ashton and Bristol to fulfil God's city mission to our village, city and world. One of the greatest ways in which God has blessed us over the last couple of years has been in our relationships with the wider church. As a small independent church, it's easy to become isolated and disconnected from the rest of Jesus' body. So we want to emphasise the importance of our partnership with All Saints, within our community, and with Woodlands and the church across Bristol, as well as with our mission partners, both locally, Crisis Centre Ministries, and across the world through 4-H, Word for the World, and Mercy Ships. God's call on us is first and foremost local, but within the body of his worldwide church as we work together in partnership. So in coming to a close, again, I've not specified how we do this. But there may be clues in what God's done in the past and what we see him blessing in the present. Historically, God's used Hebron to introduce Jesus into the lives of children and their families. And we see that again now through Come and See, through Saturdads, through Kids Club, through Messy Church. But our vision is not about activities. We need to hold these individual activities lightly and be prepared to put them down and take up new things when God leads us to, or just when it's common sense. Our vision, the outcome we're looking for, is unchanged, even if God uses different means to achieve it. So, what we believe our vision for Long Ashton is to be a church who walks closely with Jesus, a church that walks closely with each other, and a church that walks closely with the people of Long Ashton. And in many ways, there's nothing radical there. It's consistent with the call of God on his church throughout the ages, or at least I hope it is. But for us, we need to pay special attention to the opportunities that come from being a small church within Long Ashton. We could all be part of big churches in Bristol, and we'd probably find churches where we like the people, the music, the teaching, or something else more than here. But we're here because God has called us to be church in community. And that brings us opportunities to go deep in honest and authentic relationships with each other and to walk closely with the people of our community of Long Ashton. And we also need to consider what we need to do differently in areas that haven't necessarily been our strength in recent times, such as experiencing the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've just started our new preaching series on Acts, and so our hope and prayer is that as we do so against the backdrop of this vision, that God, by his Spirit, will use the experience of the early church to colour in the details of what this means for Hebron in 2019, 2020 and beyond. And in our times of prayer, in the prayer course, in the forthcoming prayer breakfast, in our weekend away, in all our other regular activities, and in our personal times with Jesus, we need to be expecting that God will use those to speak to us and shape us as we put this into practice. So I'd ask you to ask God and to ask yourselves, what are the things that we should be doing differently? What things should we stop doing? What things should we start doing? Are we doing things that don't serve this vision at all? Is God affirming this vision? So please do reflect on it. Pray about it. Talk about it with each other. Feedback. Be expectant. Dream big dreams. And get on and do it. As a aid memoir in that respect, we've got some cards with this on, which I'll pass around. Let me just pass them back. We're in an exciting time, not just in our church, but in church in Bristol, the UK, and across the Western world. We talk a lot about the sort of political, social crisis in our nation, but it's causing people to question some of their assumptions for the first time in decades. Church historians and those with the gift of prophecy are speaking at the moment about the huge opportunity for revival in the next few years, as disillusioned people seek meaning and identity and community and find it in Jesus and his people. We want to be a church that's ready. So because of this, and because of the early signs of fruit we're seeing in our own community, I really believe that God has incredible plans for us and our village, that we'll see his kingdom breaking out here. But that God's asking us to be fully committed, to be all in, to show that commitment, belief and tenacity that Orva and Wilbur Wright had in their quest to create the flying machine. But ours is based on the certain faith of walking closely with Jesus. So we seek to walk closely with Jesus, with each other, and the people of Long Ashton. I want to close in prayer, but rather than me praying, I'd like us together to pray the Hebron prayer. So, if you're willing, would you stand and let's pray together. Just cast your eyes over it for a moment and then we'll pray. Father, we thank you that you have called us to be your people, that you have called us and made us a church together. Here in this church and in our village, our heart's desire is for your kingdom to come, your will to be done. We lift our prayer to you to enlarge our hearts, to receive more and more of the life of Jesus flowing through us. We pray that you will build up our church so streams of blessing will overflow from all of us here to fill our valley. May the people of our village know that you are the living God and turn to you for their salvation. May the knowledge of your glory fill this place with the sound of your praise. Establish your presence in power among us, Lord, to save and to heal. We pray to you, Lord, in simple faith, in the name of Jesus. Amen.